Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
Hey everyone, this is Lauren McLean. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the Royal Legacy Podcast. We've had some amazing conversations with families with BYU athletic ties, and there's plenty more to come. This week, we're excited to share something a little different, an episode from our BYU Radio family. This is Her Why, a show I also host where we celebrate the women that make BYU sports what it is today. In this episode, I talk with BYU softball's Kayla Komoku about growing up in Hawaii and what made her transfer from Ole Miss to BYU. We hope you enjoy this episode of Her Why, and we'll be back next week with more from Royal Legacy. Thank you so much for joining us, Kayla.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you. You're in the midst of fall ball right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit how fall ball works.
So a lot of people don't understand that softball and baseball is kind of like an all-year sport. A lot of people just think that we're just a sport in the winter or the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Our seasons actually go from when we start school all the way till we end, till our last day of school. So fall ball is kind of like more of like a preseason where we get reps and we're able to kind of manage our team and kind of put everyone in different positions to mm-hmm. see how the team flows
yeah.
and how the chemistry goes. Our fall ball season this year, I think we did absolutely amazing. There was little to no stress after, you know, we were winning, we're beating teams 15-2, 15-3. Mm. Like, having high scoring games, I think, helps with our confidence and our mentality as a, you know, like more of a younger squad, I'd say, because we lost a lot of unique seniors that played a huge role in our lineup last year. And I think the way our fall ball season's going right now, I think we have a pretty good head on our shoulders to see how we're going to compete with other teams in the Big 12 when February comes around. So
I love that.
Yeah.
So with this younger squad, though, who are some of the players that we should be keeping an eye on? Kind of the up-and-coming players.
Okay, so we do have a freshman, Danica Acosta. You know, she came in firing. She's our starting second baseman. Great attitude. Selfless. I'd say selfless. She's a young gun. She's got lots of talent. Very humble. I think Danica Acosta is going to be one that BYU should, you know, keep their eyes on
yeah.
as she continues her career here. But another freshman, Ilovea Brittingham. She's amazing. Super strong bat, super quick behind the plate, good strong arm, good attitude.
That's good mm-hmm. to know. We'll keep an eye on those girls.
Oh, yeah.
Which means that you're one of the veteran players.
Yes.
Now, even though you've been at BYU a year, but you're one of the veterans on the team. What are you most excited about when you think about starting your senior season here at BYU?
I probably would have never seen it coming. When I was a freshman, I'm like, I could be like this all my life. I'm never going to get old. I'm never going to graduate. And here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. We've hit senior year and everything, scheduling, graduating on time, being able to get all my requirements done before graduation. You know, like, there's just a lot that plays a part in not just me on the field, but like academically, off the field, how I'm doing mentally. And I think I have a good sense of what my plan is for this year. Hopefully graduating and walking in April. So that I got everything figured out that way. When it comes to softball, I think it's just me having to just go out there, ball, give it my all, and play like it's actually my last game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we never know when it's going to be our last game, especially when season starts coming to an end. But I think my mindset for this year is kind of just taking in every moment and enjoying the process and being able to understand and take things that I learned from now that – will help me grow as an individual off the field after college.
I love that. It's a strange thing getting older, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel that. You're like, I'm going to be this age forever. You're not.
I hate to see this coming.
You're going to be incredible, though. And you and your teammates did something so awesome that I love. You're involved in honoring a local softball coach who passed away in August by having his team come to an exhibition game against UVU. How did that all come about?
Some of us, we do lessons. So we do lessons for players. And some of them, they tell us, like, important information that happened over or, like, what's going on with their teams. And that was one of the – that was, like, something that happened that we wanted to honor because we were, you know, kind of interconnected with this team. And they've always – they've been supporting us, so we kind of wanted to give, you know, give back.
Yeah.
And kind of make them feel, like, a sense of belonging. That's what we like to talk about here, so is cool. Having a sense of belonging. And I really like that culture that BYU's built here. Because it opens a lot of avenues for everyone to feel open and, you know, not afraid of the culture that we have here.
I love that. What was that experience like for you personally?
That experience for me was amazing. And it kind of made me realize, like, wow, we really do care about more than just softball. And more than just, oh, that's just my coach. You know, it's like family. And Those are one of the main takeaways that I endured being here. And I wasn't here for that long, but, you know, I was able to pick up some great personal, I guess, aspects to see the world in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. And I feel like you guys are doing such an incredible thing for the next generation of softball players, which is so important. Who would you feel like was that person for you when you were growing up that you just looked up to and was kind of your inspiration when it came to softball?
I'm a daddy's girl. It's always been my dad, you know. My mom, I love my mom. She's always been there for everything off the field. You know, me personally as a woman, my mom, I feel like, has shaped me into the woman that I know I can be and I want to be in the future. And I love and gratitude all to my parents. But when it comes to the softball side and athleticism, it's definitely my dad. And I know that a lot of people can say the same things with their dads because I guess it's in Hawaii, it's just actually everywhere. Competition's insane. You know, dads are way more aggressive than our moms are.
Yes.
Depending, you know, a lot of people are different. But for me, it was my dad. And he pushed me really hard. You know, my upbringing, I didn't even know what sports he was going to put me and my brothers into, but he threw us into soccer. He threw us into kickboxing. He threw us into wrestling. He threw us into football. Like, it was a very eventful early life for me.
Yeah.
Especially when I was the oldest and I was a girl. I was always in the mix with the boys. I was always, you know, having to do extra to get what I wanted, you know, because not a lot of people talk about that when it comes to women in, like, playing male sports. Mm-hmm. My whole life, I grew up playing football, baseball, soccer, wrestling, and boxing with boys, just with boys. Wow. Like, I've never played softball until middle school. Seventh grade was my first year playing softball. And it was kind of a big shift for me, but not really. It's just the ball was a different size.
Yeah.
And the field was a little bit smaller and a lot quicker. But I think I was able to adjust really well to that. And going back to my dad, he always pushed me to be better than I was. Like, people talk about 1% better every day. My childhood life with my father is that exact definition. I think that's where a lot of, like, my swagger and my confidence comes from because, you know, my dad is my biggest cheerleader and I don't even know how to explain it more than that.
Oh, I love it.
And, you know, when I succeed, he succeeds. We all succeed. And it's kind of a great feeling when I have my parents who are always right there and not kind of like the helicopter parents, but like the parents who are there to help you go through life, but also not be there giving me all the answers all the time.
Right.
Like, they're going to have answers for me when I need it, but they're going to also make me, you know, like, learn from my mistakes.
They sound like incredible people. And I got to know, what position in football did you play?
So it was a kind of a mix. I was either on kick return.
Okay.
Or I was either a quarterback, or I was either a running back. It was more of an intramural.
Yeah. Were there other girls that were playing as well?
I was the only girl.
You were
girl.
The only girl.
Yes.
What was that like going from playing with all boys and then suddenly you mentioned in middle school you start playing softball with girls? What was that transition like?
This transition is probably so funny because I feel like I was overly aggressive. I was probably way too mean to my teammates.
You're like, this is how everyone treats each other, right?
I had way too high of standards. But then it also, like, I feel like I had more, I just had drive. Like, my dad just feeding into me. I'm like, yes, you're right. Let's do it. Like, dad, all I want to do is win. Like, that was kind of like just the mindset when I came into softball. And then, like, as I got used to it and as I was adjusting, you know, like, my throws were terrible. I didn't even know how to hold a softball. So I was kind of like,
clearly you figured it out.
Yeah.
Clearly
yeah,
it worked out.
We got to figure it out.
Well, but you're from Kapolei, Hawaii.
Yes. Yes. Kapolei. Yes.
Okay. And you grew up near Alea Nailana Agbayani, the daughters of Major League Baseball player Benny Agbayani.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them on the show last fall. We love getting to know them. What was it like being able to play with them, grow up around them?
Growing up growing up like with them in the same, I guess, environment,
yeah.
Same competitive nature, same culture, like, was really amazing because we were never on the same side. Like, we were always rivals. The high schools we went to, the middle schools we went to were always rivals. And like for, the Agbayanis and I, we were like, I'm not going to toot our horn, but we were players that were well known in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it was really big when we played each other because it's like, oh, we played the Agbayanis today. Let's do it. And then, like, it was my high school, like Kamehameha High School. They went to Iolani. So they're both private schools. But it was really fun. And then it was really cool to experience knowing them, playing against them, being rivals with them, playing college for a couple years and then coming back and being able to feel that, you know, connectedness with girls that I used to play around and be around a lot while I was in high school.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So I think me being able to play with them again and be here just kind of gave me a sense of, like, home.
Mm.
A sense of home and, like, my sisters.
Yeah. I love hearing you talk about your home because I feel like everyone that I've talked to from Hawaii has so much pride in where they came from. How has the island, do you feel like, influenced you as both a person and an athlete?
There is a lot to talk about my island life because I've never lived on one island my whole childhood. I've never went to only one school my whole childhood. I've never lived in one house my whole childhood. So it's kind of like there is a lot of moving and a lot of adjusting and adaptability that I don't even think I understood at the time.
Right.
But looking back at it from stories I hear from my parents, like, I think that being able to adapt and adjust to anything that early in my life with my parents there just kind of helped me figure out or kind of look back and look at my life to see where we are now.
Mm-hmm. It's helped you to get to where you are now. Your adaptability and resiliency probably from all those moves and things you had to face on the island. And I love that. And you obviously became very good at softball, even though you mentioned you didn't know how to throw when you were a little bit behind.
Mm-hmm.
But you caught up really quickly. In fact, you committed to the University of Minnesota out of high school. But then you ended up going to Ole Miss.
Yes.
So explain to me how that happened.
So, it's actually not a long story. I was actually committed to UC Riverside in eighth grade.
Wow, eighth grade.
So that's where all my recruiting processes started. You can never deny an offer that will help your family,
right?
Is all I'm going to say. And for me, I looked at that as an opportunity to ensure that my family will be okay, to ensure my parents wouldn't have to cough up money, you know? And for me, that's the least I could do is give back to my parents. And then my junior year came around. And my travel ball head coach, his name is Price Hansen. He coaches the Easton Preps in California. And he actually was telling me, hey, we have some schools interested. And I was at a tournament, you know, just to get reps.
So then how did Minnesota come into the picture?
And then so after being in one of these tournaments, it's called Don Battles On. It's in California. But I did really well. I think I hit like 3 home runs in one game. And the Minnesota coach, Jamie Traxel, was there. And it kind of brought sparkle to her eyes.
<I'm sure laughs>
And
<it did.
laughs> actually, you know, funny story, my travel ball head coach and Jamie Traxel were sitting inside of the stands for one of my games. And my head coach, he yells at me right before I go up to bat. And he's like, Kayla, wave, it's Jamie. And I'm like, hi. I'm like, okay, I need to lock in. First pitch, home run.
Wow.
First pitch, home run. It was the greatest feeling of all time. I do not think I could feel on top of the world more than that moment. As I was running around the bases, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, wow, I just got me an offer in the bag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just the back of my brain thinking. But so we talked after that. My coach also told me that I had Washington and Texas on my radar during that game as well. So I did have a conversation with them after that game. So after that, Jamie Traxel, she was talking to me. She's like, do you know where Minnesota is? And I said, I have no clue what Minnesota is. She looked at me and said, excuse me? I said, Coach, I honestly don't know where Minnesota is. I don't know anything about the state, and if you ask me a question, I wouldn't even know if it snowed there.
Yeah.
it was a good conversation. You know, I scheduled a visit. I went on my visit to Minnesota. Amazing facilities. The only thing was it snowed really bad there. Really
Very
bad.
Cold.
And I'm just an island girl. I only know the sun and the sea. That's it. So it was kind of like a huge momentum shift for me if I, you know, decided to go there. And luckily I did. You know, I said, you know, Coach, I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to commit to you. And I trust you and everything you do. I trust this program that I'm coming into, and we're going to go and we're going to do it. We're going to make it to Oklahoma City. You know, that's the main goal.
Yeah.
So I'm committed. The summer goes on. And at the end of the summer, I get a call from Coach Jamie. Coach Jamie says, hey, Kayla, they just gave me the job at Ole Miss. You're my first call, and I want to know if you want to come with me. I tell her immediately, I'm in.
That's awesome.
I didn't even have to think twice. And I told her that because I did tell her, you know, I'm committing to you. I'm going to trust you. And we're going to do this. And that's going to be the same plan no matter where we go. And if I'm your first pick to come with you, I'm going to give you that same energy. And we're going to do this. And I'm going to get all of our troops together that we plan to bring with us. And we're going to do this. So that was kind of my mindset and like that general shift from UCR Minnesota to BYU. Ole Miss, not BYU. Correction.
That comes next.
But, yeah.
That's incredible.
That is how I ended up at Ole Miss.
So Coach Traxel kind of was the the thing that brought you over there. And your time at Ole Miss was very impressive. You started nearly every game in 2023, had a lot of standout moments like the Grand Slam against Southern Illinois.
Yes.
When you look back at your time at Ole Miss and kind of what you put in that program and with that coach, what stands out to you the most?
The fact that the competitive nature never left. Never left. We're always competing for everything in our lives. I think hard, tough, strict coaches are always going to eventually make you better. You know, we learn in anything that we read, your scriptures, you got to break something down to build it up.
Right.
Like, that was kind of my mindset going through it. And Coach Jamie, she was definitely a competitor in every aspect of her life. And I kind of looked at that as, you know, as a role model, kind of, because I like my life with standards. I like my life to be organized, and I like it to be, you know, on track, on time, everything, you know. That's one main takeaway is you're never guaranteed anything. You're never guaranteed anything. And softball-wise, you don't know. The game does not know who's supposed to win. So you just got to 100% effort and attitude, and you, regardless of the result, you can't say you didn't try your best. So I guess it's that competitive nature that it was one of my biggest takeaways. Yeah.
From your time at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more from BYU softball's Kayla Kamoku, and we're going to find out how she came to be with the Cougars. This is Her Why. Hey, Cougar fans, this is Lauren McClain. We have some amazing shows here at BYU Radio, including the Big Stories podcast, where host Cleon Walsh shares real-life stories from the Big 12 and beyond. Last season, Cleon brought you stories about walk-on TCU point guard Darius Ford, who went from homeless to college hoopster. And Kansas play-by-play announcer Brian Haney shared how he organized a basketball tournament to raise money for kids with cancer. This season, the podcast traveled to Tucson, Waco, Houston, Orlando, and other cities to bring you more amazing and inspiring tales. So check out Big Stories wherever you find podcasts or on the BYU Radio app. Welcome back to Her Why. I'm Lauren McClain, chatting with BYU softball star infielder Kayla Kamoku. So after two seasons at Ole Miss, successful seasons at that, you transferred to BYU. What made you start looking at other schools?
I think what made me look for other schools is finding a place closer to home. You know, I was in Mississippi for 2 years. I struggled with, you know, missing my family, being so far away and not being able to control that.
Right.
Like me being here in Utah, it's way easier to control traveling from Hawaii. And Minnesota, it was 2 to 3 planes. Utah, 1 or 2 if needed.
Right.
But like I talked about earlier, I look at it as my parents' money not growing on trees anymore.
Yeah.
And then the shift coming here, it was not the easiest. There was a lot of compliance, you know, signing papers, all that. And then just having, like, when you're in the portal, just having the sense of I may or may not find a home.
Yeah.
Because there are thousands and thousands of other athletes as well in the portal with me. So I think, like, for me, the portal time was a very stressful time. I went into the portal 2 days before the portal closed. So late already.
Yeah.
And, you know, Coach Eakin, he was my first call. Coach Eakin was my first call. And I was willing to hear him out. I heard him out. We kept in contact for multiple days. I did tell him that, you know, I did have other schools interested, and I was planning on going to, like, visit to other universities as well. So with the timing and with all of that, I was able to find a time to come on an official visit. You know, it was me and my parents, and it was just amazing. We got here. It was actually really hot. It was like 100. It felt like 100 degrees.
Well, at least you felt more at home because of the heat, right?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I could do this maybe. But when the sun goes down, maybe not.
Yeah.
But overall, the visit was amazing. We went to Sundance. We went on the chairlifts. So it was hot, but then when we went to the top of the mountain, you could still see, like, some snow caps and stuff.
Cool.
So it was really cool, especially, like, with my parents, we don't see snow regularly, mm-hmm. like, or at all.
Yeah.
Like, the only time I remember seeing snow, like, with my family was in the Big Island where it snows on Mauna Kea.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that was the last time, which I could barely probably even walk at that age. But it was a good experience, and it was a good time for me and my parents to kind of take it in and enjoy each other's company, because me being away for so long, I don't get to spend quality time with my parents.
Right.
So I think it was kind of good. It was a good trip. Coach Eakin, Coach Pete, Coach Ali, they all took care of me and my family. They made sure my experience here was the best. And my favorite part is always going to be taking pictures in my new uniform. But I would say the transition from Ole Miss to BYU was not the easiest, but I think it was the best.
Hmm.
The best for not only myself, but also my family.
Boy, I love it. I want to know what that decision process was like between you and your parents, because obviously they probably were a big part in helping you choose what school you're going to go to next.
Uh-huh.
Seeing that they were one of the biggest reasons you left Ole Miss, right? You want to be close to your family. So what was it about BYU where you and your parents and your family decided, yeah, this is where I'm going to finish my softball career?
I really think it was the faith-based culture that we have here. That was one of the main reasons why I chose BYU over anyone else, is because there was that Christ-like foundational background to reside to. Like, a lot, you see a lot of other universities, we talk about, you know, God and believing in a supreme being, or but we don't see it as much as you do here.
Hmm.
I think religion now in our society is becoming like the forefront of almost everything that we see, everything we hear. I think I like the way we kind of maneuver and look to, you know, the Book of Mormon and hymns for just to look back to and reflect on ourselves in the image that God wants us to be, you know?
I like, love that.
To become more like God.
Yeah,
absolutely. Is what we like to talk about here. So,
coming from Ole Miss to BYU, that would have been a big adjustment. You mentioned you didn't know anything really about Minnesota when Coach Traxel asked you about that, and then I'm assuming it was similar with Mississippi, right?
Yes.
So then coming to, how much did you know about BYU and Provo before Coach Eakin reached out to you?
So I kind of had some prior knowledge of BYU and, you know, LDS, or before I got here, I used to say Mormons, and mm-hmm. Coach Eakin kind of corrected me, and he's like, we don't go by Mormons anymore. We like to be called LDS, Latter-day Saints. And I knew little to nothing. Like, I thought I knew.
Yeah.
And before, like, me committing here and the comments, you know, people who say congratulations, yes, love that. And then there's some that are like, oh, like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what you're getting yourself
into? They're
kind of
weird.
Yes, like those little comments, it was like kind of sparked my interest, because I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me want to dive deeper.
Hmm.
Like, for me, I'm not one to believe and just project madness.
Yeah.
I'm one to, all right, let me come and find out. Let me find out and let me see for myself to see if it's really what you say it is.
Mm.
So I kind of came in here with an open mind, open spirit, wanting to learn more. I wanted to learn more. And it was like my first couple weeks of school. I was in this class and I met one of my classmates. Her name is Brittany. Funny story. She was the only other brown girl in class. So I approached her and I said, hey, girl.
Yeah.
And luckily, we must be friends. And we're both poly. So, I mean, it was easy to connect. Chemistry, amazing. So she was able to, like, you know, give me the rundown, like how we do things here, what the culture is like. And she kind of had me like wanting to know more about the culture, know more about the religion, know more about the faith, practices, ordinances, everything like that. And at the time, like I was new to BYU, so I was taking religion classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was learning and asking and also learning again at the same time. So like it was just amazing. And every single thing I've heard ever since that point that had anything to do with faith, it kind of flipped the switch in my brain to look at like the world differently. Because before I got here, in my brain, I was like, oh, the Mormons, you know, mm-hmm. like what everyone mm-hmm. else was feeding me.
Right.
What everyone else is feeding me. Like, I what else am I supposed to think? So I come here and I find out, and I couldn't tell you how much joy it brought to me and my heart that I actually felt myself feeling so passionate about something and feeling so passionate about pursuing that something to get a better understanding for myself.
Mm.
And for me, I grew up Christian. My whole family, my uncle, my whole family in the Big Island, we have our own congregational church. It's a Christian church. My uncle was the pastor, and it was kind of like that was just our family. That was our church. That's what we did. And so when I talked about moving away when out in my childhood, after we moved away from my family, I kind of lost the sense of, you know, religion and faith and, you know, just saying some little things like saying my prayers at night, saying my prayers in the morning. Like those are things I kind of drove away from that kind of made me, as I got older and realized, you know, this is a really important part of my life. Like as I got older, I was able to realize like, okay, maybe I do need to put more effort. Maybe I do need to put more effort into understanding something that, you know, I want to preach as well. You know, if I want to help someone, I need to understand it myself.
Right.
So I think that was kind of like my process and everything that was going and happening to me. And eventually, you know, Brittany brought me to her ward. She started bringing me to church and bringing me to sacrament. And, you know, I know lots of people feel this, but after like going to church and after being in such a holy and sacred place, you feel it in your heart where it's like, wow, I can accomplish anything.
Hmm.
Like that, like God, the Holy Spirit is taking over me. And that's exactly how I feel every single time I go to sacrament, every single time I go to FHE and see friends I don't usually see all the time because I'm busy with softball, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of like, now, after going through my lessons and stuff with the missionaries, you know, I did make the decision to get baptized, and you know, it was not something I came here and said, "Oh, I'm going to get baptized." It's not something I plan to do. What I plan to do was to deepen my understanding of what the LDS religion and faith was about, and that led me to understanding what I wanted in my life. I like standards. I like to have, you know, everything organized. And I think me being here and being in the LDS culture and religion, it's only helped me for the better. I think overall for my spiritual, mentally, physical well-being, it's helped me in the long run, and I don't think I could ever take anything away from that, and I'll never regret it.
That is so, so incredible. I love that so much, and I'm curious what your family and friends said when you told them you were going to be baptized in the church, especially you mentioned those friends that are saying, oh, they're kind of weird. Are you sure you want to go there?
Mm-hmm.
And then your family, who is Christian but grew up in a different religion, what was their reaction when you told them you were going to be baptized into the church?
So I am one to just, I will not beat around the bush. I will say it, and I will say it with my chest. So, you know, when I approached my parents, or I actually called them on FaceTime, you know, just our little daily check-ins, you know.
Yeah.
But I called them on FaceTime, and I was like, hey, Mom and Dad, like, do you guys have a minute to talk? Like, this is a little bit serious. Like, I'm not here to talk story about how your day was going.
Yeah. We're going to go a little deeper.
We're going to get a little bit deep. But yeah, when I first told my parents, their reaction was the best thing I could have felt in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last thing you want from your parents is criticism.
Right.
And that is nothing what my parents did. The first thing they did was, wow, Kayla girl, I am so proud of you. Like, for both of them to tell me that, and for both of them to realize, like, the new culture and religion foundation that I'm around now, they understand, like, how much that could play into effect and how I feel. I didn't have a fear that they would ever try to negate anything I tried to say, or try to steer me in a different direction, or try to alter my thinking. They didn't do one of those things. And for that, I think that kind of pushed me even more to become a greater, you know, person spiritually and, like, mentally, physically for myself. That little comment and that reaction from my parents is one of the reasons why I push more in what I believe in. And that's why I feel like anything I tell them, they're going to ask me, well, do you think this is going to help you in the long run?
Right.
Do you think this is going to affect you in a good or a bad way? And then we go from there. And I think for my parents, they understand what I'm going through, and they like for me to make my own decisions. And if it's my decision, they're going to support me no matter what. And they always tell me that. And I think that's one thing I really appreciate about my parents, regardless of the situation. They're going to love me no matter what. They're going to still have their arms wide open, even if I'm 25 years old.
Right.
Even if I'm 30 years old, they're still going to be there. And that's just one thing that I will always be thankful for and grateful for, is how supportive and how well-driven and, I guess, competitive too, because my dad.
Yeah.
But just those aspects that they lay on to me that reflect their parenting. And I really like the way that, like, my upbringing and how they kind of raised me and my siblings. I'm the oldest of five. So I'm the first one going through everything. So there's a lot of adjusting and adapting wherever we go.
You're the example to your whole family. And your parents sound incredible. I'm like over here taking notes for myself. I'm like, okay, do this, don't do this. I think that is so incredible. So you got baptized earlier this year. How do you feel like your life has changed in this past year since you've joined the church?
I think my life has changed drastically. I couldn't even explain to you the current situation I was in a year ago. Like, a year ago, I had little to no friends besides my teammates. You know, I lived on my own, but with another teammate, but also still trying to manage our own lives.
Right.
You know, in Mississippi, I lived with two other teammates, so it was a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You know, like to have two people home with you. Mm-hmm. But it was, I think, what really helped me, or how my life has been since my baptism, changed me drastically. And the more and more I go to sacrament, the more and more I pay attention and watch General Conference. Like, me and Haley Morrow, we went to General Conference, actually.
Oh, cool.
And it was a really cool experience. She was so excited. I was kind of like, I was super excited, but I didn't. It was kind of like a delayed gratification moment for her, because she's been waiting all her life. She's like, this is what I used to watch on TV. This is what I used to watch on TV when I was 5 years old. And now I'm finally here in the moment. So for me to experience that moment with her, it was really amazing. And it really opened my eyes to see, like, wow, this is a miracle. Many blessings coming to my life. Me mentally, a year ago, I couldn't do it. I don't think I would have, you know, had the same drive and push to continue. Hmm. You know, there's a lot that goes into being a student athlete, having to work with a schedule, and then also, you know, managing having a job or like internships on the side.
Right.
Or trying to make at least some, you know, some money on the side.
Yeah.
But I think ever since my baptism, my mindset, my heart, my everything that I do on a daily basis, I find purpose in doing. Mm. I find purpose in waking up and, all right, let's do this. I find purpose in picking up my glove and preparing to go to practice. I find purpose in everything I do in my life. And for me to make Christ the center of that, of everything that I have been blessed with, it makes me feel protected and loved and cared for and just satisfied, you know, with myself and how I'm currently living. And I just think it impacted me for the better in my long run.
That's beautiful. I love that so much. I'm here with Kayla Kamoku, from an infielder from the BYU softball team. Kayla, you are beautiful. You're incredible. Thank you so much for taking the time and telling your story to me. Thanks to Annie Robinson and Sydney Simpson for producing this episode, with senior producer Cleon Wall. Her Why is a production of BYU Radio.